Dear God in heaven, we just come thanking you for another Sunday morning, another opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to come out and worship you. I just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with us as we continue through this worship service. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with me as this speaker. Use me, dear God, to get this message across this morning. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you be with the hearers of the word, that they, dear Heavenly Father, will have ears that they may hear, that they, dear Heavenly Father, will be able to just from this lesson, be able to continue to strive to be the best Christian that they can be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I talk loud enough and, okay, here we go. We got it working. The last time I was here, actually, it was a couple Sundays ago. I had some technology problems. I had problems connecting to the internet. And so I was using, I was trying to use my tablet. But this time, I got paper. Okay, so I'm not going to worry about trying to, if I'm hacking into anybody's telephone or anything like that. So I am good today. Okay, so as we begin this morning's lesson, I know that it's always important when we talk scripture, you know, to be able to see things and understand things in context. So just as a brief introduction, you know, to our lesson, this is coming from the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And this lesson this letter was written, you know, to the Christians in Philippi while he was in prison. So this is one of those prison letters that goes along with Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon. So when we kind of think about that context of Paul writing this letter from prison, but then as you see, he also, as he writes this letter about prison, from prison, the overall theme of this particular letter is joy. You know, one of the things too about the city of Philippi, it was a Roman colony. And Paul writes about this Roman colony being a city that is crooked and perverse. Okay, so that's going to be important to note, you know, that the Christians that received this letter lived in an environment, you know, that was sometimes antagonistic towards them and their belief in Jesus Christ. But the overall theme of this letter is about joy. And that joy that he has in Christ. There's like 15 instances, you know, where he specifically talks about joy or rejoicing. Okay, and also he talks about Christ about 50 times, you know, in this. So he's connecting this letter, you know, to understand the importance of having joy and having that joy in Christ. You know, when I talk about this joy, I'm not talking about that whimsical kind of sense of joy, you know, that we just kind of feel and then it kind of goes away. You know, that whimsical, let me give you an example of that whimsical. You know, my car, you know, I have a little car at the house and it doesn't, you know, when I went to start it, man, it just didn't start. You know, so I was looking at it, I was checking it out, trying to figure it out, and you know, the joy was, it was only the battery. You know, so, you know, battery, I'm good with the battery, okay? But I'm showing you how fleeting joy is. I couldn't find the battery. The battery on the Dodge Stratus is up under and around the wheel well. That took the joy out of that situation. But see, that's joy. That's the joy that is that temporary kind of joy. But fortunately, the joy that Paul's talking about, the joy that we have, is a joy that's a gift from God. It is that kind of joy that allows us to be consistent and constant in our beliefs. As we think about, you know, that joy, we have that constant joy because it comes from God and it is about God. So now, in this lesson, we're going to be talking about becoming a shining star. Paul says, a star shining in the universe. In Philippians chapter 2, okay, so we'll be going through Philippians, you know, for this particular lesson. But in chapter 2, I'll begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you and will to act according to his good purpose. So do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and a depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. So this is what the call is for the Christians at Philippi, is to be those individuals who shine as stars in this perverse city in which they live. You know, one of the things that, as Paul writes in that little section, he says, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, let me kind of put that also here in context for you. Because when I look at that, you know, everything Paul writes about being a Christian, it's about having peace, having confidence, and having assurance. It's not about some who want to interpret that work your salvation out in fear and trembling is that God's going to strike you with that bolt of lightning. That's not what this is coming from. This is saying that we need to work out our salvation in reverence and respect for God. So that's the message. That's what he's trying to get to them, as he talks about that. And then actually we'll kind of go back into that a little bit, you know, further into the lesson. But then he also continues and says that you can be this shining star because it is God's work that is within you. And then as he concludes, it says, God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. To act. Paul's writing and telling the church at Philippi, you have to act. That's a part of being and becoming that shining star that he wants us to be. We also know that, as we kind of talk about that shining star in the universe, we also know that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they also talk about having that light and that candlelight, not to put it under a bushel. So Paul, to the church of Philippi, is just expounding on that concept of the candle, and now it's that bright star in the universe. Something that every night when they went out, they could look up and see that star, which could be that reminder to them, that's who you are supposed to be. So there's three things that Paul says. I like this because this short letter, because Paul's really kind of concrete for us. So he's going to talk about three things that will help us that we should know about being a shining star. The first one he talks about is understanding your spiritual power. Okay? Understanding the spiritual power. Number two, having a spiritual goal in his life. Number three, thinking on spiritual things. Those three things that we can pull from this particular scripture, Paul says, if you do these, you will be that shining star. So to begin with the importance of that spiritual power, chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship, okay, let me go back, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be glorious bodies. Okay, so Paul is talking about why, what kind of spiritual power do you have? Because in order to light up that star, to be that star, you have to understand, he says, you have spiritual power. And that spiritual power comes because you are, we are now, citizens of heaven. He says another thing that we have to keep in mind as we talk about this spiritual power is the spiritual power, you know, that we think differently. He says that we should think differently than the people in this world. The people in this world think about their earthly gains. The people in this world think about their earthly pleasures. Paul describes it as they think about their stomach first. As I take a deep breath in, you know, to say that part of it. But they think about, that's their focus. Their focus is on the body. The focus is on the here and the now. But Paul says to be that shining star, set your mind, set your thoughts on spiritual things. That power, that spiritual power, is coming from that confidence to know that the Spirit of God is indwelling. That confidence is found, you know, in that spiritual power that is given to us by Christ Jesus. You know, as he moves in, he talks about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him that strengthens me. That's the same power that you have and that I have, that we can be the shining star. That spiritual power, it's that spiritual identity that you have to be able to rein in, to know who you are. You are that royal priesthood. And that's what Peter tells us. But we are those individuals, you know, who have the power to be what God has called us to be. You know, when I thought about this lesson, I thought about this little ant that was crawling across wherever I was sitting. And it came to me, you know, that thing they talk about, how much an ant can carry. So I had to go look it up. And then I liked the big number. The nature world said that an ant can carry 5,000 times their weight. Now that's power. 5,000 times its weight. Think about how much you can, think about your weight. Okay, I'm not getting personal, but think about your weight and multiply that times 5,000. You would be Superman and Wonder Woman in here because of the power that you would have if you were just an ant. But think about it now. The spiritual power that we have because Christ dwells in us. What and who can stand against us? Spiritual power is that first part of how do we become that individual that is a shining star. The second thing Paul talks about, having a spiritual goal. Having a spiritual goal. And he talks about that in chapter 3. In chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet that I have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards that which is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Man, Paul is saying, you know, when you step back and you think, if I was standing in front of those people at Philippi and going, you know, we need to set our spiritual goals. They could look at me and go, okay, maybe you might need to set spiritual goals, but I'm okay. But this is Paul the apostle. Paul, who, when he kind of talked about who he was in some of the previous verses, you know, he kind of also talks about, you know, that he was the Pharisee, that he was the person with the greatest amount of zeal against the church. I mean, Paul says, I am that missionary for God. So I am somebody. But then Paul takes it and says, humility. So if I can set spiritual goals, then you should set spiritual goals. And of course, you know, for me, I'm going, yeah, okay. If Paul set a spiritual goal, then I need to be able to set a spiritual goal. You know, when it talks about the pressing on, it means to actively pursue. The Greek word is actively pursue. Okay, just step back a minute. Okay, well, not literally for me, but step back a minute and think about this. Think about your personal goals. Think about what do you want to be the best at? Do you want to be the best student that you can be? I'm not pointing fingers or nothing, but do you want to be the best student that you can be? Do you want to be the best spouse that you can be? Do you want to be the best professional that you can be? Whatever that profession may be, do you want to be the best at it? If that is what your goal is, then you will be intentional about it. In order to be the best student that you want to be, you have to study. If you want to be the best husband that you want to be, you have to be intentional and be loving to your wife. If you want to be that best professional, whatever that professional might be, you have to go and learn more about your craft. That's what happens in our personal goals. Because if you're not intentional, you never, ever, ever reach your goals. So Paul is saying, set these spiritual goals. And in these spiritual goals, we also need to remember one, is that Paul demonstrated humility through this. He demonstrated a focus for this. He demonstrated spiritual intentionality. I think that's real important, because sometimes we think that Christianity just happens. You know, I'm baptized and now I'm good to go. No. Paul is saying you set spiritual goals so that you can be intentional. When we think about that intentionality, we're talking about what's your prayer life like? What's your Bible study time like? What's your devotional time like? Being intentional. Setting those spiritual goals. Set the spiritual goals that help to spur on spiritual growth. That's what's important. That's that next step that we need to be taking a look at. Purpose. Having a goal in your life gives you a purpose. Having a spiritual goal in your life gives a spiritual purpose. So as we move on to the next one, I'm leaving this part of it by saying this. Set your spiritual goals so that we are spurred on towards spiritual growth. The third, thinking on those things thinking on the spiritual thoughts. Okay, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, okay, that we heard in our readings, says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, when we read those attributes, okay, it says these are the spiritual things that we should be thinking about. But really, they should be more than things that we think about. They become our character. Those are the character traits of that shining star. That star that shines bright in the universe have these character traits. When we think about our friends, do your friends say, oh, he's truthful. Oh, she's honorable. Oh, yeah, he's just. He's pure. That's how we become that model, that person that can look at us and see Christ in us. Truthfulness, honorable, justness, pure. Those are these concepts, you know, that when we think about setting spiritual goals, we might ask ourselves that question. And we have to be honest. Am I an honorable person? Or am I kind of sneaky? Am I a truthful person? or I just kind of fabricate a little bit? You know, am I that person, you know, who is pleasing and commendable? Okay, am I kind? Those are the, as I said, those are the attributes that we want to exhibit, and those are the things that the people in the world see us as. And just as the context, in the context of the letter, Paul said that Philippi was a city that was perverse and they were corrupt. Where we live right now is a place that is perverse and corrupt. We have the same charge as did those early Christians. We need to be the light. We need to be that shining star. These can become our spiritual goals, as I'm mentioning. So there is action. As I said, I like this little short letter because it gives us application to our lives. It gives us a measurement to our lives. Being a Christian is not just about the checklist. Okay, came to church, check. Did this, check. Was here Wednesday, check. You know, no, Christianity are these, being able to exhibit these characteristics, these types of traits in everything that we do and everything that we say. Brought back the words of this little song for me. Be careful, little eyes, of what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because there is a Father up above looking down at us in love. So be careful, little eyes and ears and mouth, for what we do see and say. That's our lesson this morning. That's the focus of this letter to Philippi for me. So when we think about this spiritual power, in summation, thinking about the spiritual power that dwells within you, tap it. Recognize that you have that power. Recognize that you can deal with those situations. Paul, in the letter to Rome, he says, we are more than conquerors. And it hasn't changed. We are still more than conquerors. We have that ability to overcome all of those obstacles. And remember that point number two. Set your spiritual goal. And anything in your life, if you set a goal and you work for it and it's intentional, then you're going to get it. You want to be that shining star? Make it a goal. Be intentional. Do the things that you need to do to be able to reach that point. Okay? Study your Bible. Work with other Christians, you know, that will help you and encourage you to be the best. Your associations with people. Be intentional and think on those things in Philippians 4:8. So this morning, as I close this lesson, so actually my wife would be proud, she's not here, but this was brief, this was short. She tends to know that, I teach college, and sometimes I teach a Wednesday class that went from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and I can do it. You know, I mean, I could talk to you for a while, but no, I think this lesson is brief because that's all you need to know about how do you become that shining star. You know, as we sing, and where's David? Come on, David, come on back up, so that we can sing these words of a song. So to be that shining star, where does it start with? It starts with getting that power. And that power comes from that baptism. That confidence comes from knowing that when you get baptized, Christ now dwells in you. And that's what gives you the power to move on. And if you have been baptized and your little star just is flickering a little bit, or it's a little tarnished a little bit, the elders will be in the front and there's some elders in the back that will give you that opportunity to pray with you, to encourage you, to to let you know that once again, like when your star shone as bright as it did the day when you were baptized, it can once again, because through prayer, through encouragement, you can be just like Paul. Paul said, I will put things behind me that were in the past, and I start moving forward and looking at those things that I need to do. So as we sing with David, the words of the song.